And God gave me a passage in the 19th chapter of Genesis, which is kind of unique, I suppose, for the occasion. I'm not all that fond of situational preaching. I believe that we should, as ministers, as of the gospel, we should get our verses and our texts and our messages from God. We shouldn't just tailor a message for the circumstance or the situation or the occasion. That actually God knows what's going on in our hearts. And we want to be fed. We don't want to just be intellectually stimulized. We want our souls fed. I'm amazed how many people have become so religiously fed and they're yet so spiritually, they're in a spiritual famine. There's a famine of the Word of God. People are not being fed spiritually, and that's a sad day. Jesus told Peter, feed my sheep, not stimulate their minds. I hope today that this message will stir our hearts and encourage us. Let's look. I have one particular text. This 19th chapter deals with the situation and circumstances surrounding the city of Sodom. There was a family in that particular city. We know that God had gotten to the point where He was prepared to destroy that city. Abraham had the understanding of that, began to pray for his nephew and for his family that resided in that city. God had determined that their sin was full. Enough was enough. And He had plans on destroying that city. Since Abraham was concerned about his family members in that city and had prayed, God showed mercy upon Lot and his family and sent two angels, two messengers to that city to retrieve them, to get them to leave, to vacate, to evacuate, to escape the destruction and the damnation that was fixing to come upon the city of Sodom. I don't know why Lot had reservations. I don't know why he hesitated. We see that many times today where people hesitate and have reservations about following and doing what is right in the sight of God. We have people that have hesitations and reservations about finding deliverance through the Lord Jesus Christ, about saving their homes. Listen, if you want your home saved, you're going to need God in it. You're going to need some divine deliverance. And so we read of one particular place here where he was asked about how are things at home? Is this all you've got? Is this all of your family? You'll notice this particular passage is found in verse 12. And I'm going to read that particular text because I think there's a lot that we can learn from the 19th chapter of Genesis. You know, in the scriptures, there are a lot of examples. There are examples of faithfulness and there are examples of unfaithfulness. There are examples of those who had healthy, hearty, heavenly homes, and there are examples of people that did not have good homes, divine homes, godly homes. One of the, most joyous things that I've had the privilege to experience as pastor of this church is to see whole families get saved. See the mom gets saved, and then the dad gets saved, and the kids get saved, or the kid gets saved, and the mom gets saved, and the dad gets saved, whatever way it went. And then had the privilege of baptizing all them. That's an apostolic experience as far as I'm concerned, like Peter who went to the house of Cornelius and preached to them, and the whole family got saved, and the whole house was baptized that day. I have some expectations and some anticipations of some families that are attending right now at this church. I have a longing in my heart to see all of them saved and all of them baptized. I'm hoping and maybe the Lord will grant my prayer and my request. Sometimes I add a few things into my prayer requests and I'm hoping that I'll be able to baptize them all on the same day. There are many examples of homes and there are many examples of families that came to the Lord. There are many examples of families that were not following the Lord as well. All of these are given to us in Scripture. In verse 12, these messengers sent from God said to Lot, Hast thou have here any besides? Son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in this city, bring them out of this place. This text, bring them out of this place. Many times we allow our families to, and family members, this particular passage, is it deals with a biological and social and paternal aspect of our lives, people that we're attached to, close to, family members. Sometimes we allow them to get to a place where they should not be. And there are occasions where God says to the fathers, there are occasions in our lives where God says to the mothers, bring them out of that place. And many times, mothers and fathers, they shed buckets of tears, and they know that there are children in a place that they should not be, and they pray and they pray and they pray, God, deliver them out of that place. Come on, moms, you know what I'm talking about. If you have any love for the Lord Jesus Christ and His cause, you'll have the same kind of love for your family. You'll want your family members, your children, your loved ones, your spouses, whatever the case may be, you'll want them serving the Lord. Here in this place, the place of Sodom, there was a moral collapse. There was a lack of righteousness in this city. They were being plunged rapidly into doom and destruction. And I know today we have a lot of people talking about, well, there's going to be an economic collapse. People are overly concerned, I think, about all of these economical and tangible things, and there's a lack of interest and concern for the spiritual things. A spiritual collapse is far greater than any economical collapse a community or country could experience. The people of Sodom had forgotten one simple, basic, divine, prominent principle of life. It's an immutable principle. It's a principle found in Galatians 6 and 8, where Paul said, those that sow to the flesh shall reap corruption. If you sow to the flesh, you will reap corruption. They were sowing to the flesh, and the people of Sodom were fixing to reap corruption. God's patience with this city had been exhausted. He had reached his limit. Though Abraham had prayed for his nephew Lot and his family, he had beseeched God. God was showing them mercy. I believe there's a family today that God is showing mercy. I believe your family is being shown mercy today. God is offering, He is showing, He is presenting unto you and your family members mercy. Mercy was being shown to Lot and his family. God's messengers warned Lot and his family of the doom of the coming that was coming in that city. He urged them to flee, to escape. And yet, they, for the most part, many of them, did not. Our city. Are you concerned about Hendersonville? You know, a city is actually kind of a nerve center. It's a storm center for our civilization. I don't know if you noticed or not, but in the New Testament, every single church took on the name of the city. Several years ago, in the 1800s, Baptists that was prominent in this nation had committed themselves to trying to establish a church in every city. Thus, we came up with First Baptist Church. The cities of our country. Our cities, if our cities were saved, then our country would be saved. Our forefathers understood that. That if our cities were saved, then our civilization would be saved. But if our cities are lost and full of corruption, then destruction is inevitable for our civilization. We got to divide and conquer. I'd love to see the world saved, but we need to start with Hendersonville. And if every church across this country would start in the cities in which they reside and do home missions and home mission work and home evangelism, then it would profoundly change our country that we so dearly love. Charity begins at home. Jesus said in Luke 17 and 28, He said, as it was in the days of Lot. He went a little further and talked about them eating and drinking, how that they bought and they sold, they planted and they built it. He said in verse 29 of Luke chapter 17, He said, the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. The point Jesus is making in that passage is that the more we near the end of this world, the more peril we'll have in our homes. As it was in the days of Lot. Was he just talking about the city, or was he also talking about not only the city, but the circumstances surrounding the families of that city? I believe if our family lives were right, then the city would be right. It starts with the home. Amen? The home. I realize there are many important things facing our country. I know people are talking about the war in Iraq, and that's an important issue. People are talking about the economy. They're talking about jobs. They're talking about trade issues. They're talking about public education. But you know, the most important thing in our country is our homes. Family values. No longer is being spoken of in politics, but it's still the most critical and most important thing this country faces. It's far more important than all of these. Perhaps it's far more important than all of these put together. The home. For us as a church and as a people, surely we should be cultivating and trying to preserve this grand and glorious institution that God designed, which we call the home. I believe every patriot and every lover of America should consider the conservation and the preservation of the home as a primary matter. Those of us that are Christians, it should be a primary concern for us. We need to do more for the preservation and the conservation of the home. We need to do all that we can for the home. We should be a friend to the home. The church should be. Every Christian should have a concern for the home, especially their own home. When we start trifling with the home, we undermine the very foundation of our civilization. As goes the home, so goes the country. But if we fortify the home. We do just the opposite. And establish the home. If we secure its foundation, then we have secured civilization and we've also secured our social order. Lot was asked the question, hast thou here besides these? Gather all of your family and get them out of this place. There's a lot of us, we need to gather our families, we need to get them out of the bad places. Amen? When my grandmother died at the funeral home, I have a cousin, he's lost. He drinks, he's an alcoholic, okay? He does other stuff other than just alcohol, I know that. Everybody in the family knows that. He's lost. He needs Jesus. My grandmother was persistent about him getting saved, talking to him, counseling him. It got so bad he wouldn't hardly go around her. Because every time he was around her, my grandmother, she would talk to him about Jesus. And I'll never forget my uncle at her funeral. I just happened to be standing there overhearing the conversation. And he looked at Jimmy and he said, "Jimmy Allen, Mama will never bother you again about Jesus." If we're going to be good parents, we're going to have to bother people about Jesus. If we're going to be good grandparents, you're going to have to bother some people about Jesus. It is the thing that fortifies the Christian home. You don't have a Christian home if you don't have Jesus. Lot, get thee out of this place. The city is doomed. The people here won't listen to God. Get them out of this place. They've trifled with the holy law of God. They've trifled with the things of God. Get out of this place. They refuse to heed. They refuse to respond to the message that God was sending to them. And Lot was advised to get his family, get all of them, and take them from that place. I still contend that the highest dignity and the most important responsibility which God gives the human race is the family. You may serve as president of the United States, but your most important task is, if you have a wife and children, is your family. Amen. God's put me in the office of pastor. It's a very important office. But more importantly, He's made me a father. There are two great institutions in a city: the institution of family and the institution of the Lord's church. One is a human institution, the other is a divine institution. Both of them are important for the very fabric of our society. Are you with me? We need godly homes and godly churches. I'm telling you, those two things in a city fortify the city. And any city without those two things is a city fit for destruction, destined for doom. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7, the Bible tells us Lot had a problem. He had stayed far too long in that wicked place. The Bible says in those passages in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7 that he was out there among the world way too long, and it vexed his righteous soul. It messed his life up where he had no influence with his family. Do you realize you can get out there in the world and mess up your influence with your family? You sure can. Mothers and fathers need to be very careful in the raising of their children that they do not influence them in a negative way when it comes to the things of God. The neglect and obligation and duty, or to have little or no concern about the welfare of your children, it's a sad commentary on our country and a sad commentary on our city. I still believe the most important and most interesting thing God ever gives a family is a little baby. I mean, don't y'all remember when that happened? Huh? I'll never forget when I first became a father. I remember, I was young. I was in my 20s, you know. And I remember Angie getting pregnant, and we were so excited. And, or I was anyway. But we were both very excited. And, you know, going to the hospital and man, the joy associated with seeing that little baby, seeing it born, looking at Aaron for the very first time, and then watching him. See, that's the joy. That's the blessings of parenthood, is not to just see him born, but to watch him grow up. You know, and be there when they say their first word, and you always want it to be daddy. You know, or see them take their first walk. Isn't that exciting? Y'all remember that? First time they took their first step. First time you was able to retire the diaper bag. Man, that's cool. You know. Or they did the potty thing. Man, that's just, you know, everybody's just going around the house, you know, and praising. And we just had a parade. You know, y'all know what I'm talking about. Amen. But to see them grow up, and that first day they go to school. You know, Angie was crying. I got it on tape. I can prove it. She was crying, you know, and that first day of school, and it's so many. But to watch them as they grow up and see them graduate from school, and of course, a lot of other things in between. I'm just having to kind of go a little. See them graduate from college. See them stand at the altar and get married. All those blessings associated with parenthood. Wasn't it worth it? Those of us that have gone through all that, wasn't it worth that diaper bag and some of those sleepless nights and concerns? And what parent is not moved by the scenes of a child's life unfolding? Paul wrote to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 14. He talked about young mothers marrying and bearing children, guiding the home. He talked about how important those things were. But God forbid that we put all the emphasis upon the tangible, upon the temporal, and not consider the welfare of our children when it comes to their souls. Amen. Telling them about Jesus. Helping them understand how to be delivered from the damnations of hell. How they can know that they've had the blood of Jesus applied to their hearts. To be knowledgeable enough to instruct them about what repentance is, about what faith is, about what baptism is, what the Lord's Supper is, what the church is, what the glory is that we are so excited about from time to time and sing about on just about every occasion we come together. Bible says in Psalms 127:3 that children are heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is His reward, God's reward. Bible says that fathers, in Ephesians 6:4, they're not to provoke their children to wrath, but fathers are to bring them up. And I think both mothers and fathers are responsible and accountable for bringing their children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Amen? I guess what I'm saying, and I'll make this short, I'm protesting against any absurdity when we make the temporal more important than the eternal. When we do not put our best effort forward to help them in spiritual things. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were talking about their kids are in ball, and I think it was Wednesday night, and I was a member here, and we were talking about, you know, how dedicated you have to be. You got to give up all your Saturdays, and you'll go through that, parents. You know, if they play any kind of sport, you'll give up those evenings, and you'll be there for their ball games on Saturdays, and you'll act like an idiot. Y'all, you know. And it's worth it. But there's other things more important than all of that. And we do put forth a lot of effort to support our kids. Let's especially support them in spiritual things. Let's pray for them. Let's read to them the Word of God. Let's bring them to Sunday school. Let's teach them the things of God. Instruct them. Tell them. Be there by their side when they come under conviction of sin. Amen? And they're seeking the Lord and they're praying for eternal life. Be by their side and pray with them and pray for them that they too might come to know the Lord and be delivered from that place of destruction. Lot was not able to deliver all of his children from that place of destruction. I can think of no greater despair than to have a child die lost and in their sins. We sing that song, we used to, we don't like to think about it too often anymore. Will the circle be unbroken? By and by, Lord, by and by. The circle is your family. The members of your family. If somebody within the circle of your family is lost, when we get to heaven, they won't be there. They won't be there. Let's do all that we can to see all that we love go to heaven with us. There's a great spiritual warfare in our homes. The devil is wanting our children. He'd love to destroy your home, your marriage. Amen? Listen, don't ever blame God for destroying a marriage or a home. God doesn't. He's always there to help it, to aid it, to support it, to supply its every need. If it falls apart, it's the devil and you and not God. Oh, I've had some glorious privileges here. I've been going back down memory lane. I don't know why. Maybe I'm getting old. I've been pastor here, well, longer than any pastor that's ever been here. That has afforded me some wonderful blessings. I've seen young couples fall in love. I've seen them get married. I've seen them have children. I've seen them bring them up in church and under the sound of the gospel and in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I've seen them kids get lost and in their sins, become accountable for their sins. Seen those kids get saved. I've had the privilege of standing up here in the water and looking out and seeing those moms with great big alligator tears streaming down their face. And I've also talked to those that's had the heartache of having a child outside the ark of safety. There are many challenges associated with motherhood and parenting. But our greatest challenge is to bring them to the Lord. Noah got all of his family on the boat in the ark of safety. Lot did not. Which family do you want to be? The family that all of them get saved, and all of them are delivered, and all of them are brought from that place of destruction? Or the family that did not? You know, failure in life, I've failed in business. I've failed in a lot of things. I guess some would say I've failed as a minister. Perhaps I have. But there's one thing I don't want to fail at, and that's being a parent. For a father to fail, or a mother to fail, or for a home to fail, that indeed is true failure. What about your home? How can you make it not a failure? Well, you got to make Jesus Christ the master and the Lord of your home. Amen. Lot had failed to do that. Noah did that. Lot failed to do that. Jesus was nowhere around the home of Lot. He let the world in. And you let the world into your home, and the world will destroy your home. And you'll lose your children. God is the only one that can really enable you to be a good parent. You're going to make mistakes as a parent. Oh, come on, you did. Just ask your kids. You made a lot of mistakes as a parent. And there's going to be a lot of healing needed through the course of all those mistakes. And God can heal them. Amen? Help them overlook your failures and your mistakes, where they see beyond you and see God, the true Father, and become part of a true family, an eternal family, and become part of the family of God. I used to hear Brother Calvin Perigo talk about how that good fathers, if they were doing right and living right, that they would be a representation, or they would be an example of some of the fathering that comes from on high, that they would be an example of some of the fathering that comes from God. Isn't God a great Father? Bible says God is our mother, God is our father, Jerusalem is our mother. You got to have a heavenly birth, amen? Be born from above to be part of the family of God. Let the highest concern and welfare of our homes be majored on. Let's consider how important it is for our children to come to know the Lord and be saved. I'm thankful for the instruction I received from my parents. Do you remember when you get to the point where you think you know more than your parents do? Remember that? Well, if you're a parent, it won't be long for you. Your kids will get to that point. You know, it comes full circle, doesn't it? But there are some spiritual things that our forefathers and our parents know about, and we need to listen up. We need to listen to some of their spiritual instructions. Sometimes their counsel and their advice could keep us from destruction. Come out of that place. Are you in a place you need to come out of? As we stand to our feet, if you're here today and you need to pray, whatever the case may be, you may want to come to the altar as a family. You're invited to do so. As we sing this next song, maybe you just want to put your arm around some member of your family and say, you know, I just want you delivered from the place of destruction. I want you to go with me to heaven. Whatever the case may be, let us stand to our feet. How's your home? Do you know where your children are? Newscast used to ask that every night. Do you know where your children are? Before they concluded the newscast. Do you know where your children are? Do you know where your children are today? As we sing.
Page 233, New Songs of Inspiration.
There's somebody else today. You want to come and pray? Maybe this message was for you. Get out of that place. Lot, get your kids out of that place. Get yourself out of that place. Whatever you do, don't stay there. Don't stay in that city of destruction. You read on in that chapter, and Lot hesitated. He delayed. I mean, it got to the point to where the angels had to literally come and grab Lot by the hands and say, come on! Come on! You read it in there. Maybe this message was for you. You need to get out of the place where you're at. Establish yourself upon a rock. Establish yourself upon Jesus. I pray that the Holy Spirit would lay hold of your hand. No, lay hold of your heart. And say, get out of that place. You know you're not supposed to be here. Get out of this place. Destruction awaits you if you stay. I'm showing you mercy right now. Actually, the reason Lot received mercy was not because Lot was a good fella, but because of Abraham. Abraham was on the other side of the hill praying, God, show him mercy. Deliver my nephew. Deliver his family. I'm glad I've had some of those people on the other side of the hill praying for me. Amen. There's no telling where I'd be if they weren't on the other side of that hill praying for me. Help them, Lord. Get them out of that place. Help them, Lord. Get them out of that place. And somebody's on the other side of the hill praying for you to get you out of that place. If you're in the wrong place, you need to get in the right place. And that's Jesus. As we continue to sing, will you come? Is there somebody else?
Oh.
Is it with your soul today? Are there changes that you need to make? Are you doing things that does not correspond with your raising, with what you've been taught?